I have seen.
There's, I think that's a good point, we can just put in a transition provision. So notwithstanding this.
The redeal.
Notwithstanding this, in 1981, everybody goes through the course.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to handle it. Any other objection to the adoption of the word initial in there? If not, so adopted.
And Mr. Chairman, and I would, I believe that, I think Representative Rieger does have a point on 75, on the beginning, unless the commission decides otherwise, the course should be at least 6 hours long. I think that should be their decision to begin with.
Okay. Let me just tell you, I don't care if we take out the 6 hours or two sessions, all that, but I think we should say it should be a thorough course.
Oh, okay.
Because what I'm seeing around here is these orientation courses are getting less and less and less meaty. People are roaming in and out. They got their feet about, you know, the decorum is not good. And because they're not good courses. They're not a real life course. They're just some staffers standing up there.
I've done a couple of those.
I have too.
It's 20 minutes, half hour best.
Right.
And then it's,
yeah. Right. See, so I want to say a thorough course that covers the range of this law.
Sure.
And okay, it doesn't have to be, but that's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah,
6 hours.
I understand.
If you have more than 50 people in a class, you've lost that class.
But it should be the commission decide that.
Right.
We shouldn't be telling them the statute.
No, but we should direct them that there has to be a thorough course.
Well, I understand.
B already does that.
Okay. The other way to do that is to include, this would be great in the commentary.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would be,
this is what we have in mind. This is what we have in mind. That'd be like a letter of intent. I mean, that would be good stuff to explain what we're talking about.
But how do we handle legislative employees that work from home?
Well, we've got some provisions on that.
Okay, so the motion is to delete that area, but you're assuring me it's going to be in the commentary somewhere.
I would make the same motion that the exact words would be found in
the commentary.
Yeah, in the commentary.
All right, with that I can support it.
Okay, is there any objection then to on page 75, lines 3 through 7, deleting the entire sentence beginning unless the commission and the same motion would be that the essence of that would be then added, if not already, to the commentary that would accompany this section. Any objection? If not, so done.
Yeah, the staff goes out of their way to try to do a good orientation. I think they really work at it. And because it doesn't have the backing or the degree of importance by the leadership or whatever, it seemed to be, they go to a lot of trouble and it's just not met with that same degree of it.
And looking back, you know, when I first took my orientation in 83 in the House, it was a lot better than, because there was a lot more participation by the senior legislators
at
that time.
That's right.
The good example is Mike Miller Juno. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really took it to heart and he could, he, you know, in his areas that he covered, he gave a good orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last few years, we have really gotten away from that.
It's because the leadership won't take the responsibility to do it. And I don't want the same thing to happen to this because our lives are involved.
Sure. I understand. Sure.
Okay.
The commentary has 6 hours in it already. And you can just add the 50 people.
Good.
50 people.
Okay.
So you're going to have more than one session because you're going to have, especially that first year, you're going to have Monday,
8th. Okay. Rieger,
8th.
Gunny sack.
Okay, that's it for
50
people.
Mr. Chairman.
Laura.
Might I suggest the 50 be changed to 60 so all the legislators can have it together?
The number's out. The number's gone.
Even in the commentary?
It would not be a commentary. You couldn't get 60 legislators.
You took 2 cents.
Yeah. Actually, for legislators, probably you can do it.
We got enough problems. The bill without worrying about the commentary.
That's good. We
have. You got 50 down there, too.
Okay, John.
740. Rieger number 88, page 75, lines 8 to 26, which is the whole thing. Delete all material. This is overkill.
Which part?
740. Oh, 740.
Current issues and application seminar.
Just sort of the update, right?
Yes. You guys, education is one of the cornerstones of this thing. I mean, it's really important.
Okay, I'll move down on that strike lines 23, 24, 25, that sentence there. Just leave it there. That's where it says, shall have 3 hours
of help. Should offer space education. That's the comment that the court thinks is less. That's just
I'm just offering the 3 hours, get rid of the 3 hours.
Okay, no.
3 hours and the 50 people.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the 50 people. I'll get rid of both of those.
How about the accommodating specific problems?
I'll leave that up too.
Yeah, that's the structure of the course. Mm-hmm. This further discussion, that would be parallel to our other actions up above.
Just put that in commentary someplace.
Probably about where you're the first part of us.
Yeah, the first. I would probably. Would you amend it to that the essence of this would be included in the commentary?
I'm not okay. Amending the commentary. I don't think the commentary. We haven't kept the commentary up before.
There's no section of the commentary on this one.
Well, I'll also move that amendment to this amendment. There'll be reference in the commentary about the composition, length, and attendance required in the application seminars.
Okay, this is on the amendment to the amendment to parallel this in the commentary. Is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment?
I don't object. Okay. What are you doing right now? You want to move the 3 hours and the 6 hours, Melissa?
To the commentary.
To the commentary.
Which is like a letter of intent. This is how we view what this course would look like. But the commission is making the decision on what they think the course should look like.
All right, well, this is just kind of our recommendation.
Yeah. Is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment? If not, so adopted. Okay, now we're on the main amendment, which would delete on page 23, or lines 23 to 26 on page 75, the two sentences starting with unless the commission. Is there any objection to that amendment? If not, so adopted. John.
Okay. Let me see. You had some same comments. Okay. ACLU page 8, same thing. Shouldn't be mandatory. Page 750.
Before we leave this, let me just ask a question. Of course, this is each year, not each legislative session. I mean, not each legislature, but each year. Is that what we want?
No, we want it each legislature.
I think we want it each legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that I would be working here with no orientation whatsoever.
Oh, the updates.
That's right.
Yeah, you'd have your new orientation.
That goes out each year?
Yes.
Okay.
See, and you'd have your update, I imagine, in that orientation for new employees. You wouldn't have to go to two. You just go to your new one. He's okay.
Right. Everybody goes to the new one.
Right.
I mean, with their initial one.
Right.
Then we're just talking about updates.
Right.
I don't know.
Do we have any jurisdiction over lobbyists if they don't go to the...
They just get fined or they don't get registered by APOC. See, APOC has jurisdiction over those people.
Well,
let's
just finish this one up, because this is still in 740, page 75. This is on line 10.
We don't
have
Mr. Chairman, for purpose of discussion, I'll move to delete year and insert legislature.
Okay, is that how we refer to it, John? There's a term of art on...
Legislature.
Okay. Is there any objection to the adoption of the amendment on line 10, page 75, to change year to legislature? If not, so adopted. That's on line 10, legislature.
Got it.
Do you want it at the beginning of each legislature? I'm going to run this language by the revisor.
It should be at the beginning of each legislative refresher course.
I would say, and that's the time to give it. That's the best time to give it, both time-wise and because all the laws will have been passed from last June. Then you've got them all taken. So we're going to take that, John, to be the beginning of each legislature.
It seems, if I can interject for a second. The thing is, it seems like you're going to have ongoing new employees
that'll need to have the course.
Right, each year.
Each year.
Mm-hmm.
And you, but you're still going to have this update, because like in the second session of the legislature, you're still going to have some advisory opinions and all that. So I think I think they were talking about having this thing be an ongoing.
I know it's. I mean, this is a policy call. It's not a technical change. It's just saying, when is this most valuable? Do you have that much going on each year? That doesn't bar them from giving updates of manuals and advice.
Right. It just means you're not forced to go into a classroom.
To a course each year. It's every legislature.
Yeah, there's an ethics education manual earlier in this section. Okay, 750, lobbyist training course. Rieger, review for constitutionality, also review for public policy. Is it good to restrict access to legislators?
Yes.
Which part?
The whole thing. 750, starting at the bottom of page 75.
You guys, the lobbyists are a major part of this process. The public thinks they're all crooks. They think we're paid off by it. If we exempt the lobbyists from the education course, one, I think we're defeating some of our purpose that everybody understands this law, and we're all reading from the same sheet of paper. And I think it's helpful to our responsibilities of the reputation of the legislative branch that all the players play by the same sheet of music and have some similar responsibilities.
I had something that occurred to me when you were talking about exempting volunteer and representational lobbyists. What about the person who may be, say, a lawyer in an Anchorage law firm who comes down here and does 6 hours of lobbying for the whole session? I think everybody's thinking about the Jerry Weinrons and the Mitch Gravos, who obviously it's appropriate to. But what about the...
There's exemptions.
Exemptions. Thank you.
There's not just you apply for exemption. I mean, there's a statutory exemption in here for several months. You can operate as a...
Okay.
And I think that covers the one-time people, the course may or may not be offered. There are the one-time deals. And we're not really geared to them. Yes, they escape the net, but... We're not so concerned about it. We're concerned about...
They don't do as much damage around here either.
Right. We're talking about all the guys, the professional guys on the second floor.
These do damage.
Okay. We're show number 48. Okay. That's the same thing. Lobbyist training for all. Representatives, not paid, part-time.
Okay, now, that's a separate question. I think the exception is okay for the one-timers and the one legislator, the guy that comes down for a month. But it's less clear for the guy who is always a volunteer lobbyist, or he's always a representational lobbyist. You know, he doesn't get paid for it, but he registers, and he's been a volunteer lobbyist or representative lobbyist for 5 years. He's not in and out of the process.
I mean, like the retired senior citizen folks or the retired association, those folks don't get paid, but they're the same ones.
Right, and they are, you have to register.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my first thought is, once again, it's a little easier if we want to do this, we take our definition of registered lobbyist and referencing the definition section here.
Our definition is in the definition section, so it would apply to this.
Oh, well, that's, but we haven't made that policy. I'm saying we could make that policy choice for this.
Are we still on section?
Are we deleting D, line 18?
That was my second comment. Okay.
Put in the commentary, I would move that on page 76, subsection D, lines 18 through 19, we delete that with the understanding that that reference will go into the commentary.
Is there any objection to that? If not, so adopted.
I have a general question on the commentary.
Let me finish this up.
Who's doing it?
Okay, let's hold that question. Okay. On the question of do we want our standard definition of registered lobbyist to apply to the training?
Does the standard definition of lobbyist, that's the oil lobbyist too?
Right.
Okay. Who does it not get?
volunteer lobbyists and representational lobbyists.
What's a representational?
Like a municipal employee or something.
Right. Representational is somebody that doesn't get paid but gets expenses reimbursed.
Typically, they're people who work for a company. They don't represent anybody.
But then a little railroad guy, he's not even their government affairs people. He's their passenger service person. But he had to register as a lobbyist. He doesn't get any pay or anything.
That is like them. I think it's a bank guy, a guy who he works at the bank. His main job is VP of MBA, processing loans and charge of loans. But the bank people, isn't it, John?
I don't think so.
He is a registered lobbyist.
I don't think so. He is. He would either be a registered lobbyist or he'd fall under that four hour once a month exemption. The representational are like, I used to work for APEA, and APEA would bring people down to lobby for the union.
Yes.
That their job was not working for the union, but they weren't volunteer because they were getting their airfare and per diem.
Right. The ARCO cap people or somebody like that.
Right.
They pay their own way.
Right. But
if they pay their own way, they're volunteer. If somebody else pays their expenses, then they're representation.
Okay, because the ARCO cap people pay their own way.
Like the Marla Huss, who works for the borough, Kenai borough. She's not their lobbyist, but she is her.
No, she's exempt. If you work for a borough, you don't have to register at all.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Then I think that we're catching everybody. I don't understand why Michael was so upset about the registered lobbyist business.
I think we're getting the guys we want to get.
Right.
City
okay.
manager.
So, okay, we're fine on that.
City manager.
Paid. They're not covered.
They're not covered. Well, that was our whole discussion on lobbyists.
But I don't think we necessarily want to get them.
Right.
We want to get the guys that are out in the hall every day, waiting to pounce on you.
And getting paid for it.
Yeah. By the way, we are not talking, I mean, we are including, for lack of a better, Linda Anderson. She represents a borough and a school district, but that's just a client.
That's right.
The borough manager of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Mm-hmm. They're out of this.
See the difference?
And Marla Huss, for example, she's a Kenai borough employee, so she's not.
You want to tell us what?
I see some city managers and even mayors down here more, and I see some.
That means their budgets are too big in their cities.
That's a fiscal issue.
And send a letter
that
to the borough public.
That is a fiscal issue, not an ethics issue.
Somebody else is.
Let me raise one more point of mine then on 750C, on middle of page 76, lines 15. Here, this is a technical thing. Okay, the commission shall certify the names successfully completing the course under E. Then, over on the next page, we have the reverse on lines 16 through 19. The commission shall supply the APOC with the names of lobbyists who have not complied with the ethics education requirements. To me, that's overkill.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to make a decision they can't do. That's APOC's problem. I mean, all they need to know is who took the course. Yeah. And then they give them the registration or they don't.
Okay,
and they say,
your
name.
Okay, delete it then. Page 77,
right.
Lines 16 through 19, delete the last sentence.
Right.
Yeah. I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to object for a second.
Okay.
Commission certifies the ones that have completed the course. Where you say the ones that didn't complete the course? I don't understand.
No, but if you certify, you're a lobbyist. Right. You certified the course. You took the course, and it was certified. They sent it to APOC.
Yep.
So if they know, you know, they look down.
I got
okay,
you.
Mike Davis took the course.
On the
so
list.
You know,
but we don't have to go through the universe of people who didn't take the course.
Right.
They can figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Because all they have to do is say, "Oh, you're applying for registration. Is your name on the list? Your name's on the list. Fine. Your name's not on the list. You better go get your name on the list."
All right, the next section here, this is sort of wording that the commissions are under, commissions shall offer all the education programs at the appropriate times and locations and shall fairly publicize them. How do you fairly publicize something? I put, and shall provide adequate notice of their happenings or something.
Any objection? Is that a motion? We'll take that as a motion. Any objection?
Adequate.
I think we have standard language on adequate or
provide adequate notice or something.
John, could you just find the
just
regular
say provide adequate notice?
I think there's standard language for notice. They use a certain word. We'll call adequate notice or to that effect. Is there any objection to that amendment? If not, on line 21, page 77, we'll delete fairly publicized and insert as a conceptual amendment, provide adequate notice. Oh, delete them.
Yeah.
Okay, John, are we done with 750?
We're done with 750.
Okay,
760. Senator, Representative Rieger has one, number 90. Page 77, line 8, and line 9. Again, this is going to recommending. This is a point that the committee rejected already, I think. The idea that the commission itself may impose sanctions, and he would propose that to say may recommend the imposition of sanctions.
Recommending him to
your employer. It's the same thing. It's the same idea. Whether the commission
the
should have
out,
any
they
direct.
They don't have the ability to discipline. They have no teeth.
Right.
Recommendation.
You know, just for discussion purposes, I'm sure we're going to find some of our colleagues say we should be the one imposing sanctions on our employees, not somebody else. It's a major policy problem.
We don't know some of these conflicts. We don't know some of these business deals. We don't know a lot of this stuff. And do you want to know it? Do you want, I don't want to get into the personal life of my staff and their personal business decisions and all that kind of stuff. And if they get in trouble, man, that's their tough luck. I don't want to get in the middle of having to rule and having to reach, you know, go through all of this stuff again. I'd rather have it arm's length. I don't want to spend my time having to figure out what they're doing is right or wrong. If they work for me and do their good job, as far as I'm concerned, I'm teachy-keeny happy. Tickety-boo.
Can I have a staff perspective on this? A couple of years ago, I think one of Senator Fisher's staff had been copying things using the state Xerox and state equipment, and in that case, he dismissed that employee. Well, that's exactly the type of situation that would go to this commission. If the commission recommended, you know, a $5,000 fine and dismissal and paying back all the paper, but the boss, you know, like, kind of felt like maybe that was a little bit extreme and thought, no. Paying back the cost of the paper is good. Taking, I don't know, a certain percentage of a fine or something, taking the fine, but he didn't really feel like that was enough punishment and wanted to retain that employee because they had been punished enough. I don't see any appeal or grievance. Like, maybe could you take a grievance to ledge counsel at least?
You go
something?
Through the Administrative Procedures Act. You go right to the Supreme Court. I mean, the Superior Court. But, Joan,
well,
the boss
money.
Is not biased. There is an inherent conflict between bosses and their staffs. The way it is, there's loyalty built up, there's some friendships, and you're asking that person then to rule over whether your sanction was appropriate or not. And I say there's no way they can do that straight up.
Well, if I worked for the bank, there would be the same kind of a thing. I mean, the bank doesn't set up a separate commission to decide whether, you know, the person I work for is making right employment decisions.
But you're not dealing with public policy,
yeah,
Joan. You're not representing every person in the state of Alaska.
You know, the bank is dealing with private funds, and
that's
the philosophy of the bank.
The legislator has to go back and be accountable to the voters. If I did something that Betty disapproved of, and the Ethics Commission, it's put it in reverse. Say the Ethics Commission thought I would be fined $5,000, but Betty said, hey, I'm sorry, I can't keep you on my staff, you know. I mean, it seems to me that because the people we work for are already elected, there's enough incentive there for them to be hard on us without, you know, without this, I don't know.
There's no incentive to be hard on you, Joan. There's no way I could do this for my staff. There's nothing I could ever do to Cheryl. She's done so much for me. She's so good. She's so professional. There's no way I could ever be unbiased and judge.
Well, this is
supposed to be
what's going on?
Isn't there a caucus?
Yeah, but they don't do that.
I'll go find out. Excuse me.
That's not.
Anyway, you've got my point.
The point is, I see the edge from the other side.
Okay, so the rigor, nobody's moving the rigor amendment.
No, but you'll have to argue that one on the floor.
Yeah, we'll hear about it. 3 points from Senator Pershell.
How are you going to argue it?
Apparently, Senator Kelly asked that the bills be run for a majority caucus.
Okay, we're going to have to get out of here promptly. Let's see if we can get. Let's see if we can get down to general provisions.
Yeah, let's get down to general provisions. Yeah.
Okay, you have three comments, yes. Senator Pershell.
Okay.
Page 77, line 1. Request for training exemptions, period, where authorized.
Where are we? The page?
77, line 1.
Tense of course, including procedures to review requests for exemptions. Okay, my question is the line 1. What exemption? If we're going to give exemptions, there needs to be a provision that says you can apply for an exemption. You just can't kind of tag it on to the end of the sentence, request for exemptions. There's got to be authority to ask for and get exemptions.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that there be authority given to grant exemptions by the LEC for all educational training courses.
Any objection to that
conceptual amendment?
Yeah. If not,
in the appropriate spot.
So adopted.
Okay. Lines 8 to 12, which is subsection C, sanctions, race sanctions for non-attendance. Constitutional question mark?
I don't see why not. Scratch that. Okay.
Say that again.
Sanctions? Question as to whether it would be constitutional to impose sanctions for non-attendance in these things.
There isn't any sanctions here, is there?
Yeah, subsection C.
I just don't think we're going to address that. I mean, we're not going to get to it here. I think we should leave it in.
Right.
Somebody may say, you're not going to take my certificate away from me for failing to do this, and that'll
say, no lounge privileges for anyone not taking the course.
51 was done. That's done.
You're going to have to vote on that, public. You want to do that?
Okay, we are now on general provisions, page 77.
Mr. Chairman, there are a couple other things I still have in there. Could you make it clear that if staff can't make it to these training sessions and they're required to travel, that they not be required to pay the cost of travel, and also that...
No, wait a minute.
Just by teleconference.
We've got this whole thing set up. Yeah, with video...
Top of page 77.
Yeah.
But if you're out on a family emergency, your mother is dying, and you can't participate in the teleconference...
Exemptions. Okay. Exemptions. That's why we've... I don't know if you've heard that or not, but... New section on you can apply for exemptions and the commission can give you an exemption. I mean, so you go back into the exemption
and
process.
And waive the expenses to the employer. One of the things that you can do in lieu of this is travel, let's say, to a seminar somewhere.
Travel to a site.
Where live or teleconference course is available. My concern is travel expenses. If you're asking someone from Bethel who couldn't participate in a teleconference to travel to Juneau where there's another one going on or something, or at Quinnahawk where there isn't a teleconference.
I think we're covered, and I don't think, I mean, normally, if that was necessary, normally that would be regular legislative staff travel. I just hate to get into that one way or another because that's, at some point, the judgment of presiding officer to grant staff travel if they think, no, wait, they can use a videotape. This isn't necessary. But if they said, you're right, you can't get a videotape to them, you can't do that, let's just bring in all of our staff, we'll pay their travel, to go to Fairbanks or to go to Bethel and do it. But I think that's a presiding officer call.
I just passed out the... two versions of the representation of attorneys question. That's number 330 that you wanted to see. The one-pager, the short one, the one-pager is the Ethics Committee version that was submitted, which is a flat-out ban on representation before state agencies. All of these allow courts, and the other version allows representation before state agencies under certain conditions.
If you want a good hour, invite Max Greenberg and Peter Gall in.
How about a good day?
We,
How about a blood bath?
Yeah, you noticed when they never appeared together. They were, it was always one after the other.
Mr. Chairman, what's going to be our meeting schedule?
Well, I'm getting just my dander up a little bit on this. I mean, I said no, and I gave
it. Oh, no forever again?
No, not no forever. I said no to this weekend, and I thought we had that all arranged, and, you know.
It's not coming in this weekend. It's coming in tomorrow.
Mr. Chair.
Who?
Joseph.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I know this is all new to me.
Me too.
I specifically.
I know. I had some specific requests from members of the board to have this discussion with Mr. Josephson on not injecting himself in the process for 2 or 3 days here.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Josephson shows up before we've got the legislature sold on or advance this proposition further, I think it's really going to hurt the efforts. And I think that the Times editorial that, or the Compass piece, whatever you call it, op-ed piece was a sign of it. I think that inevitably we're going to have the kind of hostile exchange that's going to lead to alienation of members and giving people an excuse to focus on personalities rather than content. We've gone a long ways with content. I think this is now, I'm getting to the point where I feel like this is this committee's bill and not a consultant's bill. We've made enough changes that it's now our own. And I feel like it's up to us to defend it, change it, and deal with consequences. I don't think we need any help.
Well, I would make one amendment to that, which when we have some of these redrafts and we've done this, I had always intended, and I have no problem, and I want to run the changes by Mr. Josephson. He may have had something completely, some other thing in mind that we may have missed, that we did something wrong that we shouldn't have. I mean, just from his professional consulting judgment.
Right.
And that's what we pay him for. So
I guess I mean
want to do that, but I don't want to be handing sheets with pencil marks and that we haven't gone back and mm-hmm. made things consistent. And I felt like we needed 2 or 3 days to, you know, get through and redo a draft before getting into the comments on the pencil mark stage.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. I don't actually. That's fine. I wasn't speaking at all about anyone reviewing comments. I'm just talking from a PR point of view that in terms of the sales job we've got to make, it's going to severely hurt our sales job. It's going to give many members, at least in our house, an excuse to be against what we're doing.
I think we don't want to let him be the issue.
Right. And we're doing a little better because he hasn't been here for a little while. I hope the Times op-ed piece doesn't run. And, you know, we get a little more focus on the content.
We need the airplane to check the time.
When does it come?
He's getting on the plane at 2:30, so you better catch him.
Okay. Now, let's go back to when we're meeting again. We are down to a handful of comments here. We've got major floor action set. And I also have made a commitment on a whole other matter on telephone communications to meet later this afternoon, at least until late afternoon, that I'm bringing in people. I just have to do it. We can. What's
anytime you say, I can do it anytime. Okay. You name it, I'll be here, and it's clouding up, hopefully. Maybe it'll start raining.
I am not adverse to meeting this evening.
Me too. I can do it.
Better than this afternoon.
Actually, yeah.
Anytime.
Let's aim for 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I'll do it anytime.
Druthers, I'm going to have problems before 6. I know.
Okay, 6 o'clock. And you can
6:30.
Make it later.
6:30 would be great.
6:30.
We can't make it later. We have to have a chairman. So 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30 because the people coming into town will be headed to the airport for the plane.
Well, should we at 6:30 and try to finish it up tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can come back.
Yes. And we'll try to shoot for it again. And in the meantime, if we, John, Lauren, if we could get some help on, like you've just done, on getting to our open sections and getting to some of our kind of standing problems and making some judgment cuts on some paper for us. That would help.
What you've got left is policy. I mean, like, one of the big things you still have to do is go through this whole thing and decide which ones you want to apply to all employees, which ones you want
to
apply to
systems.
That's a
good example, John, and let me just say, it's going to be a lot easier if we've got a sheet or two of paper that talks about where are employees, what are employees covered by, what are assistants covered by, what are legislators covered by, that it's going to be better than us just shuffling through lots of paper. So if we could, if it's possible for this evening session.
His plane leaves at 2:30.
That's what I'm saying. You got to call him.
1:30. You got to call him right now.
2:30 is our
2:30 tonight, your time.
I guess I don't understand. I mean, don't you want to just go through each section and say, should this apply to assistant? Should this apply to? I don't see what help a table would do. Really, it seems like it's something you got to do on a section by section basis.
Well, as long as we have.